Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. It is Tuesday, May 7th. Special day for me, daughter's birthday. That makes two morning shows in the past couple weeks where I've had a kid's birthday. The birthdays aren't new, but for some reason doing morning shows with them is. At least with both. I guess they're usually fall on weekends or something. Anyway, Doug, how are you doing today?
Matt, I'm doing all right. I'm doing much better today than I was yesterday. I'm glad we had Monday off because, yeah, I was in rough shape, man. That cold that I had last week turned into a sinus infection that had me in bed all day Sunday or half the day Sunday and asleep by 8 p.m. for the whole night with a fever and massive headache. So, yeah, it was kind of rough, but feeling much, much better today, much more alive. It's still a little nasally, I'm sure you can tell, but...
Yeah, I can see that.
Much better.
Cool. All right.
Well, what do you do to celebrate the kid's birthday?
We do the normal thing. They wake up, decorated house and all that, open the presents. They all do it. They knock them out right away. Well, usually the presents are open by like 9 a.m., all of them. Hmm. Whereas for me, spaced them out throughout the day when I was a kid. It was just, I kind of liked it that way. One every hour or so. But, do that. They always have a stack of pancakes. Aaron makes them a stack of pancakes with the number of pancakes as their years of birthday, but they're tiny little like silver dollar pancakes. So now the towers are, too tall. They need a skewer to hold them up. But it's a good tradition.
Tradition that's fun. I like that.
And they get syrup on the pancakes on the birthday, which is still, that remains. They don't always get that. Oh, I mean, never get that. But on the birthday, they do.
Those kids are living, let me tell you.
I know, it's just funny. The funny thing is, although they don't eat, because that's their everyday breakfast, right? They don't eat, they eat pancakes. That it's related to Heather Crosby, Yum Universe's recipe that she put in her book, her first book, Yum Universe. And they're good, healthy pancakes, full of good stuff, tiny bit of syrup in the recipe itself. But then, we can't have them eating syrup every single day as like their breakfast. So they just eat these healthy pancakes as their breakfast. But on birthdays, they put syrup on.
So they don't get a special breakfast. It's just the same breakfast with that number of
pancakes. Well, there's strawberries cut up and stuff with it always. So that's just always what they want. I mean, if they wanted anything different, of course they could. Mr. Jeffrey says, are you sure it wasn't just hangover from Cinco de Mayo? I mean, that is your big holiday of the year. It must be, right? That's your family's number one bigger than Christmas day.
I live for Cinco de Mayo. And you know what? I didn't have a single drop of alcohol or a taco. I didn't eat anything. It was just a bad day.
No guacamole
day.
Even?
No guacamole. Oh, man. Wow. And now I got to wait 364 more days till it comes around again.
Well, you don't, because you can, as soon as you're better, you'll just probably eat burritos and corn chips and all that again.
So I mean, every Thursday is kind of like Cinco de Mayo, but.
Yeah, right. All right, good. Well, we both wore white today. No one's yet commented on that, surprisingly. Maybe because I have a little bit of an off-white. But people like to usually point that out. They say they missed the memo. All right. Well, let's see. I don't have a whole lot of new news. We got a kind of a short, I don't want to say short show, but just a couple interesting things. Little multimedia, as always, makes for a fun day when we have that. But I don't think I have too much. My mom came to visit. Final weekend of my daughter's soccer, so we were busy with that. But now we're a little bit freed up. So I'm feeling good about that. I'm actually still not totally better either from my sickness. It just has hung around changing forms, but nothing like what you got. I didn't get anything bad like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a sinus infection. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was possible I had strep throat or something. I don't know. But it was like aching my teeth really bad just like terrible pain throughout here. So I don't think
I've ever had that either. You always hear people talk about sinus infections, but I never have experienced that. You don't think it's bird flu, do you?
I don't think it's bird flu.
Bird flu might be in the on deck circle waiting to be the next COVID just in time for the election. It's possible. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Conspiracy, maybe. I don't know. Maybe truth.
Maybe you're behind it. Anything to get reelected to that town council, right?
All truth starts with a conspiracy, right?
That's right. All truth, at first ridiculed, then laughed at or something. Laughed at, ridiculed, then eventually accepted, something like that. Accepted as self-evident.
I'm trying to think. I don't really have much else to update either because my weekend was cut a little short. But we did.
What do you do if you're at home just on the couch? Like, I mean, that's my normal situation. If I'm not sick, I'm still doing that. I'm reading books, looking at computer stuff, playing video games. So if you don't do those things, uh-huh. what do you do when you're stuck on the couch?
I was asleep a lot of the time. I mean, so it was kind of poor timing. Katie, my wife, had a big, she does an annual, like a really big annual hike with a group of girlfriends every year. And they mm-hmm. do some, you know, some big mountain or some big route or something like that. And that was Sunday. And that was the day I was feeling the worst. So I was alone with the girls. And so I did my best to give them a decent day while also taking naps and that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was a little rough, but we did make it out to get some ice cream. So we did that. And we played outside a little bit, went on a walk. And then, you know, every like hour or something, I'd come back in and pass back out on the couch.
Mm, wow. Good for you. If I were sick, I would just set him up with the TV. I'd say, this is a show day.
Yeah.
Anyway, good for you. All right. Hello to people who are here. Britters, Leslie Knight, Kate, Carmen, Mr. Jeffrey, Anne-Marie, Kelly K, Jessica Goodenough. Still keeps on a streak now, Jessica Goodenough. Stephen Dunn. Haven't seen him in a little while. Brandon Turner is here as well. So there you go. Britter says she ate a burrito or something. Let's see. She went to a baseball game and had a Beyond Steak burrito on Cinco de Mayo. Baseball game. Wasn't she going to the
Savannah Bananas?
Bananas? Yeah. But that was before, I guess.
That was a while ago. She talked about it. She said it was awesome in a comment last week.
Good. All right. Good. Well, I think that's all the check-ins and updates we have here. So let's jump into our weather report. Maybe we'll get you out of here a little early, Dutch.
Well, hold on. Actually, we gotta do. I promised an update on Andrew Glaze and his Cocodona.
Oh, you did promise that. That's right. You promised that on Friday, which was the afternoon show.
Yeah, Friday show. So he is. I'm looking at the live tracker right now. He is 86 miles into this. Started yesterday mm-hmm. morning, so he's on. He's over 24 hours. 86 miles in. And yeah, I would say somewhere in the top third, probably it appears. The leader is 121 miles in. So there's some people that are cruising. It's pretty amazing.
So far to run.
And you're not even halfway there yet. Right. That guy, the leader is 121 miles in and he's not even halfway there.
Oh, how many hours are they into it?
Probably like 26, 27, something like that.
Okay. That was my 100 mile time roughly. So they have run much more than my 100 mile time. And now they're going to do more. I mean, they've run more miles than I did during that time. And now they're going to do that all that again.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. So what do we got for the weather report? One more thing. Yeah. Super all big, right. super right. important. Okay. Today is a very important day for Compliment and me, honestly, it's all right. about me. Like, let's be real. Today we announced the latest Plantapalooza. It's our third edition of Plantapalooza. And the theme this time is Fit Over 40. It's all about fitness, all about health, longevity. We are targeting with our interviews with our guests. They're all over 40 years old and talking about things about, how to maintain fitness as you age, how to stay strong, how to stay fit, how to stay mental and physical fitness. It's a really good one. We have an incredible lineup of people. Let's see, Chris Carr is coming back, Darren Onstein, Dr. Will B.
These are big names. These are A-listers.
Rip Esselstyn, Drew Harrisburg, Ocean Robbins, Dotsie Bosch.
Yeah, this is top tier people.
Yeah. We've been working hard.
Silver medalist at the Olympics, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. Here she
is eighth mentioned on the list. I mean, Rip number four. And this is big time.
This is very big time. So, it is absolutely free. The event starts May 21st. Today was the day we first announced it. If you go to lovecompliment.com, there's a big little banner at the top. You can click there, get your VIP ticket. We've always done this like plant-based toolkit where you get a bunch of freebies or free guides and things. When you first sign up, so you don't have to wait until the actual event. But this year, I mean, it is like fire. There's 20 some free guides and recipe books and meal plans and yoga videos from Katie Hay, all kinds of incredible.
You can get all that right now if you go sign up, even though the event doesn't start for 2 weeks.
That's right. Get it right now. Okay. Absolutely free. So head over to lovecompliment.com, click the banner, sign up for Plantapalooza Fit Over 40. It's going to be really cool, really fun. We're doing a bunch of community stuff. We're doing a bunch of live events. We're going to do daily live meditations hosted by our little meditation guru, our team meditation expert, Matt Jaeger, who meditates for an hour a day. I don't know. So many great things. It's going to be very cool. Plan to Blues of Fit Over 40.
Good. Okay. Check it out. Lovecompliment.com in case you missed that bit.
Jessica Goodenough says I'm under 40, but pregnant. So I feel like I'm over 40. Congratulations, Jessica. I didn't realize that. I'm under 40 too, but there's a lot. I've been listening to all these interviews and taking part in all this content, and there's a lot that I've learned about all this. So it's very cool. Yeah.
Never definitely. Too early to start training as if you're over 40.
As if you're a 40-year-old. That's right.
Yeah. Good. All right. Vegan Stallion. We learned more about Vegan Stallion. The onion layer gets peeled back a bit. I'm 53, but my biological age is 48, according to my real age score. So there you go. I have never done that. My mom is all into that. And her age is much lower. I'm still on the fence of whether that's just like a marketing gimmick or not. But
I don't know.
It's probably a measure of your overall health, and then they the marketing brilliance was to put it on a scale that is like ages, so that then it becomes interesting.
That's right.
All right, good. And Britters is feeling 22. She says, "I believe that." Listens to her metal, doesn't drink, watches baseball, plays drums, all those things.
Feeling 22.
All right, let's jump into the weather report. A couple short but fun items today on May 7th. Here we go. There's more controversy in France. Doug, a Parisian baker has dared to take on the purists. This is the words of, I think, Daily Express or something. By launching a dairy-free version of the famous croissant. And he says, "I'm changing the world." His name is Rodolphe Landemann, Maine. I don't know. I can't figure out the name of his shop, but there are five of them in Paris, and he's making pastries with no dairy in them, which doesn't sound so so blasphemous. Is that the word? Heretical, I guess, because they're everywhere. Like, you can always go get vegan pastries. I mean, they're not the easiest pastry to find, for sure, croissants, but you can go to Whole Foods and get them. In fact, we just did it a week ago. My daughter wanted that before her soccer practice, so I said, sure, why not?
They have vegan vegan croissants at Whole Foods?
Yeah, at least at ours. And we're in Charlotte. It's not like it's a particularly vegan-friendly place. Yeah, you just go in that little pastry, cabinet thing, and get a little piece of paper and pull it out with it and put it in your bag, and you're good to go. I've had these things in Spain. I've had them in Italy. Like, they're in, like, normal shops in those places often. Mm. So they're not a rare thing. I just don't understand. My only guess is that it's so near and dear to the French culture, the croissant, that to do this is what is so wrong there, whereas you can take a train a few hours away and just get it, no problem. One person who is a food show judge for the French Union of Bakers and Pastry Makers says, "I don't understand these vegan pastries. I can understand people who don't eat meat for whatever reason, and I respect this completely." It sure sounds like it, for whatever reason. But dairy products and butter are just too important in the taste of food, and not using them is just too bad and a pity. So that doesn't make any sense to me.
Be a cultural thing, right? I mean, because most people, I would venture to say that most people in the United States would say, okay, I can understand why you don't want dairy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But meat, I can't give up meat.
Yeah.
I mean, therefore, but people can't give up cheese or whatever. But, like, baking with dairy or baking with butter, when there are plenty of alternatives. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to, like, non-vegans to use a real butter, like a dairy-free butter.
Right. And there's all kinds of dairy-free stuff, and it's not always vegans who get it. It's just what it is. People don't want it because they don't tolerate dairy or whatever very well. So anyway, I guess in France that's just not too much of a thing, or not something that you declare publicly that you don't eat dairy. Anyway, and then someone else, a cookery teacher, Olivier Boudot, said, "It's difficult for me to even talk about making a croissant without butter." Listen to that. It's difficult, but he did. He was willing to do it. He said a sentence about it. So thank you, Olivier. All right, and there's more. They said that this is symbolic of industrial madness and virtue signaling. And they said one interesting thing. One person whose first name is MME. Oh, that must be Mademoiselle or something, because that doesn't seem like a French name. MME Lainerts said, "I have grandchildren. I want the best planet for everyone, but it's always the farmer that gets the blame." And then she said, "The fear of well," she goes on and then says, "When no farmers are left, when no cows are left, it will be much worse. But I think we're at a turning point in terms of awareness." And I think she means awareness of not losing the French heritage, that we need to keep these things. So I don't know. This is the first time I've thought of this. Like, I always have said, you know, it'd be nice to not have agriculture, like animal agriculture. It'd be nice if we could just, the world could move away from that. And I'm not saying like that the world should do that, because I'm not here to say what everyone should do. But you always imagine that. But then I thought, like, a world without cow, like without farming like that, it just starts to sound like everything's manufactured and like a fake kind of world. Like in movies, they portray, like in The Lorax, they portray this fake, the plastic world, and you wouldn't have trees or animals or anything. I don't know. It just seems I kind of get the point. And of course, I still see so much wrong about how cows are treated. But I don't know, I just wondered about that. Does that strike you at all, Doug? Is interesting? Like, you think, would it be strange or bad if there were no farm animals anymore? Like, would the world be too plastic?
I mean, when was the last time you saw a cow, Matt, living in the suburbs of Charlotte? Really?
Not in Charlotte, but when I go drive to Asheville, past all kinds of farms.
I mean, and what if those were horses, or what if those were llamas or something like that?
It'd be fine. Like, and I'd be happy, especially if they weren't getting slaughtered. And that would be good.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I would love that. It doesn't
bother me at all.
Yeah.
Because there'll always be cows, right? I mean, there will always be people who are eating meat. You know, and in any reality that we currently live in, you know, maybe in some virtual reality where we're all sitting on, you know, in little pods or something, living lives that way, then there might not be. But, you know, I think that in the near future, there will always be cows. But, I think that just because you were to, say, remove cattle from being slaughtered and eaten, then that doesn't mean that you're not going to raise horses for riding or llamas for fur or whatever, you know, for clothing, whatever. Whatever. I don't know why people have llamas.
Isn't wool?
Wool? Yeah, I guess. Isn't wool just sheep? I mean, right, like sheep. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have this kind of stuff that you're not killing the animal for. So, I don't think that farmers are going to go extinct.
People are going to get on you, Doug, for implying that shearing of sheep and llamas is okay, and riding of horses is okay.
Well, I'm not saying that I wear sheep, that I wear wool. I'm not saying that. I don't buy that. I'm just saying that that's like people are going to continue doing that. Yeah, and that's going to continue being a thing. That's what I'm saying.
Of course. Yeah, and especially if people were to eat vegan, like vegetables and fruits and things instead of that, and beans and crops and good foods, that's wonderful. And that's the world that I would love us to move towards. That'd be great. But what if it was still all the meat, you know, we're still eating as many meat calories, but now they're just all coming from plant-based meats and things like that. It starts to seem like a fake kind of world, but I get it. And I would choose that over the cows world for sure. Mm-hmm. It just, for some reason, struck me as an interesting
concept. No, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, I can see that.
By the way, in LA recently, one of these vegan shops, I think it was called Sage or something, they decided to start serving meat. And basically the woman said, "I thought this was the healthiest thing when we were a vegan restaurant. Now I understand I was wrong." But her big thing, like what she thinks she was wrong about, it's not so much humans have to eat meat. It's how good cows are for soil. She somehow got into all this regenerative farming and stuff and says, this is what the world needs. They need the cows doing whatever it is they do. And what that does for the soil, that whole agriculture is part of this system that is what is so healthy. So I thought that was interesting. I don't necessarily believe it at all. Someone here says in the comments, someone new, I think, let's see, it is Race Lever. It says, "Of course the world should move away from exploiting and enslaving sentient beings. Animals existed before farmers." And so like, yeah, even if cows are great for the soil, you know, I think that the if we want to return to the natural state, it would be one where they're kind of free roaming and the soil is, as it, but you know, that's a different, we're not going back to that, obviously, right? Then I think you can't have regular plant agriculture either because the soil gets destroyed in that case too. So I don't know.
Britter says she sees lots of wild horses and cows here in Arizona.
Wow. I didn't know there were wild.
I didn't know there were wild cows in America. I didn't know that either.
All right, moving on from the French croissant story. More pastries, though. Long Island Bakery, the one that was accused of passing off the Dunkin' Donuts as their homemade gluten-free treats, they have voluntarily recalled some of their products. They're working alongside the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets to make this recall out of an abundance of caution due to a possible undeclared wheat, gluten, soy, and or milk allergens that may appear in their baked products. So that's it. There's no you know, admission of guilt in the thing a month ago or 2 months ago where they had the Dunkin' Donut. It looked like it was clearly a Dunkin' Donut being sold as something else, as gluten-free, actually, and it wasn't. So I don't know what this is. I don't know if they just kept on doing the same thing and now they are recalling it, or are they recalling things that are months old, if they, assuming they stopped then? I just don't really understand. It's very confusing to me. But that's the update on those people. And then two more here. This THIS, they're in the UK, it's all capital letters. They've launched what they claim to be the first plant-based chicken thighs that are available in supermarkets across the UK. They'll be at Tesco stores from May 13th. So that's about a week from now. You can get it if you're in the UK. But these plant-based thighs, they call them hyper-realistic. They combine three patent-pending technologies to replicate the complex 3D structure of meat. Extrusion technology, that's not anything new, but they've worked hard to make this difference. And then a seaweed layer replicates the structure and texture of chicken skin. So they're going outside the box here a little bit. This is different and interesting. Sounds like my Thanksgiving turkey that had rice paper as the skin, and even that felt like a little much to be like putting together, assembling a food like in that way. So I don't know. I'd be interested to try this for sure. I'm actually more than the chicken skin seaweed thing. I'm interested in this replicating the complex three-dimensional structure of meat, whatever. If that's not just marketing speak and it actually is something happening, I just feel like that's, I don't know. I feel like that's good. The chicken's not quite the same as the real chicken in my experience. So if we can get it closer, I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you try this?
I'd try it. As long as it didn't taste like seaweed, I wouldn't be interested in that at all. I'm sure it doesn't though. I'm sure they'd make sure it doesn't taste like that. Would you? I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're afraid of the technology, unless you think this is lab grown, like Garuda might. But you know, this isn't lab grown. This is just, I mean, I guess it's made maybe in some sort of lab, but none of that stuff that scares people.
NA says, I was never really fond of the realism of meat alternatives, to be honest. Seems like something only meat eaters would want. Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about that.
I still having want it, and I'm not a meat eater, but I would love to have something as real as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. But we've talked a lot about, like, what if there was something that didn't replicate a meat that people are familiar with, but just some sort of
make a new protein
alternative.
What is Vegemite? Do you know, in Australia?
It's like a spread. Okay.
Because that's like an invented food. Like, it's just like a new thing, right? That it's its own, now a thing people just use. Like, they make a Vegemite sandwich. At least that they do in the Land Down Under song.
Yeah. Thick, dark brown Australian food spread made of leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives.
Yeah. So somebody made up a new food. I guess that's a little different. A spread, you can imagine making up new condiments rather than making up a new main course or thing that goes into your food to make it a main course. But yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't be the first time. Spam, right? That sort of just got made up. It's a type of meat. But
spam. Yeah, so
they do make vegan spam. I guess that hasn't really taken off. So maybe this idea is not as good as I thought.
Well, that's because they're trying to replicate it in an existing product.
All right, we got some seaweed jokes here that we got to hit. Race Lever says, seaweed is the stuff the ocean smokes. And Vegan Stallion comes back with, I seaweed, I smoke it. And I've never heard that before. I thought that was pretty good. But then goes on to clarify, actually not much anymore.
Mr. Jeffrey, two weeks in a row, two Tuesday shows in a row, has called out the fact that the Friday show hasn't come up on the podcast.
That's true. Matt, it's my own fault. I got busy on Friday afternoon and then didn't get it up. And then I thought it's Saturday. And then it was Sunday. I was like, do people really want this show, afternoon show, this late?
I thought it was
a, it was a good show. I just don't I don't know if it has people listening to it, but it probably does. I need to get that up there.
Mr. Jeffrey will be listening.
On the other hand, Mr. Jeffrey, how come you didn't come to it live, right? If you really want to see it, show up, support, participate. But yeah, I do need to get this up.
He's out of school now. He's just living the free man's life.
Yeah. All right. And race lever again. Vegemite is when a vegan is deciding if he should hit a meat eater for saying protein, though. Like, where do you get your protein? The veggie might hit that person. Pretty good. Click on your feet. Like,
I ain't got the jokes today.
All right. Also, by the way, hello to someone else who's new. Who was that? I saw another name here, and I just wanted to shout them out because we like to shout out new people. You got NA. We got Race Lever. It might have been Race Lever, but I saw a new one. Sorry for the delay in programming. Yeah, that must be it. I don't know. I'll look back again. Oh, Frontal Plane. Vegan for 7 years and lift weights. People would have never thought I was vegan, LOL. So there we go. Hello to Frontal Plane.
Awesome.
All right, last bit of weather report. Lidl Belgium has announced they are permanently cutting the prices of their plant-based products. This is not or plant-based protein products. This is not a temporary measure to achieve price parity. They're just doing it for good from May 15th onward after a recent study found that 42% of Belgians say they'd buy more of these things if they were cheaper. So they're doing that. There is now, it's the Lidl brand plant-based protein product, I believe, whatever their store brand is, and they are now the same price as the regular protein. So that's really good because that, along with the taste and the ingredients, has been one of the major objections to, so it's like that, along with every single else possible factor about the food, has been one of the major objections plant-based meats for meat eaters. So good to get that one knocked out. Check that one off. Price parity achieved.
I mean, sure. That's a big one.
And that was kind of the number. At first, it was everyone said, I mean, they said it's not the same, but they said it's okay. But then they said, this is so expensive, though. I'm not going to spend $7 when I could spend $4 or $5 just to get them in. It's not quite as good. Mm-hmm. So you gotta tackle that one, and they did. All right.
I went grocery shopping on Friday night, and I spent $400.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I don't know how I did that. It was disgusting.
Where did you do that? Ingles?
Just at Ingles, yeah. I mean, I got, like, some novelty stuff, you know, some things that we don't get very much, but it wasn't that crazy. And it was just ringing up and just kept going and going and going and going. And I was like, what is going on?
That's a monster number. I mean, I don't go over 200 unless it's a big, you know, Thanksgiving or people coming or something.
Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, it kind of makes me sick my stomach.
That really affects my mood in a major way when that happens.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Hey, we should call out. I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth episode where we've had the same title.
I changed it today.
On YouTube. Oh, you did? Okay. Okay. All right. That's good. It looks the same to me, but maybe it's just a refresh.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to what this title actually is about, and that is Impossible Foods' new ad targets meat eaters. I actually saw this one in the wild. Usually these things I don't see until I Google vegan news or whatever and then I find out. But Holden and Aaron were watching The OC. Remember that show, Doug? You would have been in your college years.
Yeah. What? How are they watching The OC?
On Hulu. And Aaron likes to watch these old shows with Holden. I don't know why. They watch these old things that we watched as young adults.
California.
Who's the band that sings that song? You know? Because it sounds so familiar when I hear it on the show. And of course, I know it from that. But it's like, why can't I just would think that band would be an obvious pull. But I don't know. Obviously, we can look it up.
Phantom Planet.
Okay. I have heard of them and I know of them, but would have never thought that was them. I thought Phantom Planet was more jam band kind of music.
Nope.
Well, they got that one. They got one smash hit.
Man, what a heartbreaker of a show.
Yeah, I remember some sad parts. I never paid too much attention back then, but a little bit. Anyway, they were watching that and on came an ad for Impossible Foods. It caught my attention because I heard them shouting about meat, and I just looked up and then I realized what it was. So that bright new red packaging. We have the clip, Doug. Are you able to pull it up and play it for the nice people?
Yep, I've got it ready right now. Let me get it going for us here. All right, ready?
Listen up, America. Meat has problems, and it's going to take us, meat eaters, to solve them. So when the world says too much meat is bad and we should eat less of it, we say no, world. We should eat more. Because now we can turn plants into burgers and hot dogs. Even meatballs. Now, plants can be meat. Come on, people. Let's punch cholesterol in the face.
Help!
We're solving the meat problem. With more meat.
Impossible. Meat from plants.
All right.
All right. What's your take?
On a scale from Oatly to 10, where are we putting this one?
10 being good, Oatly being terrible?
Billion.
I'm going to say a 3. Yeah.
If the scale is 0 to 10, not negative a billion to 10, because then 3 sounds pretty good.
Yeah. No, I know. 0 to 10. I don't think it's very good.
I thought it was better than that. I don't love
okay,
it.
Okay, tell me.
Anne-Marie astutely says, why is he yelling? And that's kind of my problem with it. It's like, right, I feel like I've seen this ad before, everywhere. Also for fake meat. I don't remember who it was from, and probably them, because I don't know if Beyond is doing a lot of advertising. Yeah, they are, actually. But there's this, like, playing of this character who's, like, a maniac and just yelling and punching stuff, talking about punching cholesterol. Like, I don't know who gets into that. So I don't really like that. But I like the admission that people really like meat, and the meat problem is that it's too good. Like, that doesn't sound like someone saying you shouldn't eat meat because it's wrong. It's bad for you. It's bad for the environment. It sounds like connecting with people and saying we totally get this, and here's this product because, you know, unfortunately it is not that good for you. They don't talk about animal cruelty or anything like that, and they shouldn't, because people don't care about that for the most part.
Meat eaters to solve.
I don't know. I don't hate this. But what do you dislike about it?
Well, I'm gonna play just a little part of it again.
So when the world says too much meat is bad and we should eat less of it, we say no, world. We should eat more.
So that's the part I don't like. When the world says eating meat is bad and we should eat less of it, I think that most people don't relate to that. They reject the fact that meat eating is bad and the world says we should eat less of it. It's a bunch of liberal elites who are telling me to eat less of it. And, you know, and I reject that. So
he goes against it. He rejects it.
Yeah. Well, right. But we eat more with plant meat. Yeah. Like, I don't think that people will relate to that. I mean, I like the idea. Solve the meat problem with meat. Like, I like that. I like that a lot. But I think that like people don't necessarily believe that the real meat, the animal meat, is bad.
I mean, the product has a major problem in that it is the very thing that meat eaters most hate, which is fake meat, it seems, or carnivores, the people who are, you know, into this and actively and politically into this, they hate this stuff, right? So I think we need to accept that they are not going to be converted no matter what. But what about just a normal person who's not paying that much attention to this whole food wars, and they like their meat. They also do care about some health stuff, and they care about planet stuff. Like, that person might be attracted to this commercial, right? Because you're not going to change a person who's just entrenched in this anti-plant-based meat thing. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's great, but I think this is better than some of the things we've seen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the fact that it's not about the environment, that it's, I mean, they throw in cholesterol there as one little thing, but, you know, it's just like a little side joke. It's not about health, and really it's about, you know, it's about convincing you that plant meat is meat. And I like that. I mean, I think that that's a good move. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I give it a 3. there's some mixed responses here. A couple eights. Danielle P. Race Lover says 5. Jessica,
I'm in the
5 to 8.
7 range somewhere. I'm not sure, but okay.
Jessica says, "Why are they yelling? It's because they're four men who like meat."
Yeah, that's what I guess that's what they did, because there are certainly other commercials that do that. Can you imagine that resonating with you, though? I mean, like, how dumb do you have to be for that to resonate and say, this is me? Maybe you think it's kind of funny and goofy. That's fine. And people do, right? It's not like saying, we're going to try to be like you.
You know, that might have resonated with me when I was like 17, 16 or 17.
But you're smart. Maybe that's the average average person these days is you when you were 16 or 17. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it might be a little funny.
Maybe.
I don't know. So.
Britter says we should pay attention to the Vital Farms ad.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And then she says it's an egg producing company, not vegan. So yeah, I'll have to check that out another time. She says she doesn't even eat eggs. Mm-hmm. So all right, well, I'll look that up for next time maybe. The red packaging looks good in this commercial to me. It makes it seem like a little easier sell than if you put in green up there when you're trying to tell meat eaters to eat less meat, in effect. So yeah, I don't know. This is okay. This is not a bad thing. I like this. Definitely not cringy like Oatly stuff is. A little cringy with the punch clutch on the face and the driving the motorcycle through the wall, but it's okay.
I checked in at Ingles during my $400 visit, and the red packaging has rolled out in my Ingles, but the new Beyond with the
avocado oil, yep,
different oil. Okay. Avocado oil has not.
We actually just got it yesterday. Aaron, well, 2 days ago, texted me a picture and said, "Should I get this?" And I was my natural hesitation with that stuff was ready to say no, and then I thought, "What is my reason for not wanting this? Why do I think this is unhealthy?" And the answer is no longer the cholesterol the coconut oil, the saturated fat. Although avocado does have some. My mom was with me at the time, and she said, "You know, the avocado, like some people still worry about avocado," and I didn't realize that they do avocado oil. And she said, because that also has some saturated fat compared to other plant oils, that has a decent amount. Coconut oil has a whole lot. It's all saturated fat, I think, for the most part. But anyway, I didn't realize that people kind of had that concern about avocado oil, but some people do. But yeah, so my only objection is this, you know, that's made out of the pea protein stuff. And that's, if you take protein powder, you're getting that. And then whatever the processing is that goes into it, that's, I don't know, you know, I think it's okay. But I'm not too worried about that. So I said, yeah, let's get them. Let's try them. But I don't know. We'll see if it changes how it is and more how it feels eating. Will it feel like this is, I'm eating a healthier food now? Or will it still feel like this is just some indulgence? It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Race Lover says avocado bee murderer. REE. I don't know. I hope that's a joke and being, but I'm not sure. Cause Race Lover is the one who said about the sentient beings and all this. So I don't know if Race Lover truly believes that avocados are bee murder. Oh, no, I don't think so. Because he says the vegans are coming for you, which is good. I think that's what we want. All right. And Jessica says I went on a date with a guy ages ago who wouldn't finish the avocado in his salad because of the fat. Yeah, I mean, I have trouble understanding that with a whole avocado. Avocado oil, I get a little bit different. You know, you can concentrate saturated fat, for example, in that case. But good old whole avocado. I don't know how you would do that. Maybe that was like the 1980s when everyone thought that was terrible. Probably not, because Jessica's not 40. So she wouldn't be dating when she was like under 10. And
then one final comment about the commercial here. Kate says, those folks who hork down a bag of Doritos are suddenly worried about the ingredients in fake meat. That's right.
Yes, but we must be fair, and it's not all them. There are certainly a lot of healthy people who are trying to be healthy and they would not eat Doritos and they say this meat is healthy.
That's right.
This fake stuff is not. You know, there are a lot of whole food people who are very religious about whole foods and they eat meat. And they consider that part of their whole foods. And I understand that. I'm not saying that I would do that, but I they're thinking about what they're eating. They're not just eating Doritos. Okay. So there is that one. The only other thing we have today, and this will be a sort of quick thing, is another article I came across from, well, this is in CNBC.com. Equinox is the company. I've never heard of them, but they're a high-end fitness chain. They are launching a $40,000 membership to help you live longer. And I saw this and I thought, this is what Doug, he's going to be so excited about this and he's going to save up all his money to try to join this thing. Is that right, Doug?
I don't know how joking you are, because I actually kind of like it. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to spend $40,000 on it. I don't have $40,000 to spend on this type of thing, but I kind of really like this idea, this concept. If I did have that type of money, basically, it takes a personalized approach to your gym membership, right? You get three weekly sessions with a personal trainer. You also have a nutritionist that you meet with a couple times a month. You have a a massage therapist that you meet with a couple times a month. And maybe
and a sleep coach.
And a sleep coach.
Which that's interesting. Like that's a whole mm-hmm. that's the next level of health.
But they're doing a bunch of like blood work. They're doing your VO2 max stuff. They're looking at all kinds of different biomarkers, and not just blood work, which I appreciated that they were doing the VO2 max. They were doing some other strength mm-hmm. and stress tests, movement range. You know, and testing it a couple times a year. So yeah, I don't know. I kind of think like if you had money and you were like, yeah, I want to just be healthier. Yeah, I want to just, you know, and live longer. Like, this is not that crazy of an idea, in my opinion. You know, $40,000 a year, it comes out to how much? $4,000 a month?
Something like a little that. Less.
$3,500 a month. Like, that's not that crazy.
No.
That, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, no way am I going to spend that much money. But, like, I don't know. If you're single and make $1 million a year because you're an investment banker, like, sure.
Even if you didn't make that much. If you were single, like, you know, that's... I don't know. It's not a giant expense. I don't know. It's big, but I'm kind of with you there. The reason I thought you wouldn't be into this is because you seem to be more of a hands-off health kind of person. Like you,
that's true.
You, I don't know. Like you, and that's, and I, although I don't think of myself as one, I am also sort of anti-optimizing things. And this thing is called Optimize, by the way. It's called Optimize by Equinox. And that turned me off right away. Uh-huh. I have to wonder, you know, I like this Blue Zones kind of idea. Whether you're fully vegan in it or whether you're flexitarian in it or whatever you call that. But, you know, the kind of like very, very, I guess, holistic form of health. And they're making an attempt to be holistic. They're touching these different facets of health. So that's a good thing. But I don't know. I don't think, well, so let me finish that point. So it just, I think you seem like someone who'd rather eat your burritos, eat your corn chips, do so in moderation. You do your running, offsets a bunch of that, and you know that's you rather than paying $40,000 a year.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Because you have to spend, well, you don't have to, but to get the full value of your membership, 16 hours a month of coaching and training that you're doing.
So that's a lot of time.
When you put it that way, like that's a part-time job for somebody, a little less than a half-time job. But to pay $40,000 for, if you got paid $40,000 for a half-time job, that's not a crazy rate, right? Like that's a lot of people probably do make that much for a half-time job. So,
well, no, that's 40, that's 16 hours a month, not a week. And a job is 40 hours a week.
Oh, you're right about that. that's my mistake.
Very part-time job.
Yep. Definitely. That would be that'd be a pretty good money for that amount of hours. Anyway. So I wondered though, like if you are someone who, let's say you believe in that Blue Zone sort of thing, and you don't think you need to measure all these things. You don't need all this coaching. You don't need handholding. You're just going to go live a happy, wholesome life. And you're going to be careful to avoid addictions. You're going to be careful to not be too sedentary. You're going to watch your stress, live a life, make choices that don't lead to stress so that you can sleep well. Like, I think you're going to get better results than someone paying $40,000 and have this thing top of mind all the time, all these appointments. Yeah. It seems like kind of moving in the wrong direction, but I guess there are some people who really do need that handholding, and what this will do for the right person is a constant reminder, check in, like health is just going to stay top of mind. So that will help you make good decisions all the time. And for the right person, I think this is fine. I don't think this is like a crazy, unreasonable price or anything. I think it could be the right thing for the right person.
I mean, you think of people who have personal trainers that come to their house a couple times a week, right? And do their little home gym type thing. I like the idea. And again, this is not something that I'm attracted to. I'm not going to spend that much money on for sure. And it's not the philosophy that I take, but as I get older, I think maybe, and my fitness goals have shifted from, you know, very focused around specific races and things like that to more general day-to-day health. You know, while I'm still excited about certain races, and I'm actually teaser looking for some right now. I think I just kind of like the idea of, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 7 a.m., I'm in the gym with my personal trainer and, I'm just kind of scheduling my nutritionist check-in twice a week, who's who's helping me out. And then, you know, maybe I'm ordering some sort of delivery food service. Like, and that's not a reality that I live in with kids and not that much money and, you know, a family. But like, if I was single and lived in a big city, the people who Equinox attracts, I would imagine this would be a nice thing.
Yeah, right. People are joking about the money. They're saying 40K, chump change. What world is this? I think they're referencing me saying that $40,000 is not a lot of money, or maybe you said that too. This is a lot of money. And that, by the way, is the thing that messes up what you just said, or the thing that that makes that not apply to me, is every time I went to one of these appointments and woke up at 7 to go to my thing, I would have that feeling you did at the grocery store when you spent $400. And I would say, oh my God, I'm paying this much money for this thing. It would kill me. It would ruin my health. I wouldn't be able to sleep. And I would be constantly stressing about the cash outflow going to this health thing. if they suddenly announced special just for Outlier Health employees, like who has done that for us? Peloton. Although it's not just for us. It's just for a lot of companies. But if they had a special deal, $200 a month and you get all this stuff, are you in? $200 a month. So a 20th of the price.
$200 a month?
Still saying, I'm not spending $200 on that every month.
No, I mean, I'm not spending. No, I'm not spending $200 a month on that. I don't know. I just have like $200 sitting around. I mean, of course, like what would be tempting about that is the massages. Because,
right, that's good value.
You know, honestly, you get two massages a month and they're $130 or whatever a piece. Like, that'd be kind of tempting. But no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. Like, I want to, like you said, I want to go for runs when I want to run, and I want to go to the gym a couple times a week and lift, but do it kind of my own way with my friends. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that if I had a personal trainer that I was meeting with three times a week and a nutritionist who was paying a lot of attention to what I was eating, like, I am sure that I would probably get fitter. I would get, you know, my muscles would get bigger. I would look more toned, no doubt about it. Yeah, 100%. But you know, that's
anything.
A lot of that is kind of temporary, and you know, and then I don't want somebody to make me feel bad for eating burritos, and then I, aside from Matt, I already have somebody who makes me feel bad for eating burritos, and you know, then like you said with the money thing, is every time I was like cheating on it, I'd be like, man, I'm flushing down the money that I had spent.
Right, and for the right person, that'd be a great motivator, and this would be the thing that helps them finally become as healthy as they want to be. Mm-hmm. Vegan Zion asks, "What was the name of this outfit?" It's Equinox, and it's 40,000. Or sorry, it's optimized by Equinox is the name of the $40,000 program. The what world is this comment from Race Lever was about me saying the person who, you know, monitors their addictions, doesn't have addictions, avoids stress in their life, doesn't need handholding. So like saying that's unreasonable. Who's going to, you know, if it was that easy to just avoid the stress in your life, people would be doing it. And that is one of the criticisms of the Blue Zones philosophy that I'm talking about, is that like that worked 100 years ago in these isolated pockets of the world where there were no McDonald's and everything that comes with it. But in the modern world, you know, who can actually live that way without a tremendous amount of willpower? And I don't know. I still don't think it's that hard. I think that Blue Zones thing is a really nice path to a life that has much less stress, many fewer addictions, perhaps. I know some are going to take serious effort to break, but I don't know. And the Blue Zones even has that like that habit kind of thing where I don't know how many weeks it is, how many months it is, but it's a plan and it would help you to do some of that stuff. Creates a sort of a mindfulness. So anyway, I do think it's possible, but anyway, that's it. Race Lover says, I'll get all that done for you for $190 a month and act now, and I'll throw in a vegan stallion absolutely free. I don't know what that exactly means, but it's kind of fun. Hurry while supplies last him before he finds out. Okay. I don't know. Did Race Lever and Vegan Stallion know each other? I get the sense that there is a whole community of vegan or YouTube vegan podcast shows, because everyone says, well, Garuda's a notorious troll and he's like nice on some shows. Like to us, he's mostly been nice, but others can be terrible. And it just sort of depends on the show. And I've always taken it as a compliment that Garuda is sort of nice to us. I think it speaks, he has himself spoken to the way we approach this. We don't get very preachy, but he definitely does raise his objections. Is there like a whole YouTube community of shows? Like, I don't, what do people watch? I know that one vegan woman, I forget her name. I think she's pretty good though. Skeptical Vegan, is that her name? I don't know. I don't think that's her name. But do you know about this, Doug? Is there a big vegan like YouTube world?
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of big vegan YouTubers, but I don't know about live shows like this.
Yeah, right. I guess that's what I really mean. Of course there are vegan YouTubes, but I guess you could just be a troll in the comments. It doesn't have to be a live troll. I don't know. I'm trying to find the woman who I think is really good, but I can't find her. Anyway, that's all. That's plenty for today, I think. I think we're good. Anything else, Doug, for you to add today?
No, just a quick reminder, head over to lovecompliment.com. Join the Plantapalooza. Get your free VIP ticket to Plantapalooza. Fit over 40. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And you'll be hearing me talk about it a lot over the next 2 weeks as we lead up to it. Well,
people can deal with that because we don't have ads. And we haven't had ads for however long we've been doing this show now. Almost 2 years. I mean, we're not too far off from 2 years. And we've never once read something and said we were paid to read this. It's just we promote our own products, our own show, our own company, which is the reason the show exists. So we can promote that all we want, Doug.
Yep.
Race Lover says real vegans live stream for 6 hours minimum.
It's because we have so much stamina.
I like Race Lover. Race Lover seems to be our people, I think.
Yeah, I like Race Lover as well.
And they do know each other. Vegan Science and Race Lover are acquainted, by the way.
Vegan Science says Grudo has been banned in most vegan spaces. Ooh, man.
Well, I'd have trouble banning someone unless they really were disrupting it and making the content bad. But I think adding in a different perspective is usually good. Oh, that's a channel. Okay. Live stream for, he says Real Vegans is maybe a show, and that's a channel that where they live stream for 6 hours minimum. I don't know. And Jessica says Oatly is secretly sponsoring all of our stuff. I am double bluffing by saying how terrible their advertising is. And maybe they're running the best ad in the world by just having this good content be sponsored. And we always talk about them. All right, that's it.
There's an RFK Jr. ad, who I'm not a fan of. Just throwing that out there. Where he just reads all the like negative stuff about him, but then doesn't flip it at all. Like just kind of like that's where the ad ends.
Right.
And he was getting a lot of hate for it, which is kind of, I mean, maybe. But also, you know, I like it when people address the like negative stuff.
Like Oatly does. But, it's the fckoatly.com.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it reminded me of. Yeah. you got to flip it. That's what we were talking about with the FCK Oatly stuff. Use it as an opportunity to like flip it on its head and say why it's positive. But he didn't do that.
And like in what's that movie? Is it 8 Mile or 9 Mile? One's the Jamaican restaurant in Asheville, and one is a Eminem movie. Is it 8 Mile?
8 Mile's the Eminem. 9 Mile's the.
In his rap battle at the end, he says all the insults. He goes first and he says all the insults that they're going to say about him. So then when they have their turn to rap, they have nothing to give to him because he's already said it. So then he wins. It's good. It's actually pretty good. Pretty good.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in years. Let me go back.
Yeah.
Maybe after
OC. Not that kid friendly. I watched it with my son. Okay. A little early.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. We're done. I keep saying we're done. We really are done now. You got to get back to bed.
Back to bed. Yep.
All right. Thanks everyone for turning up today. All the good conversation. As always, recently just tons of conversation, and it was fantastic to see. So thank you everyone for supporting the show. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow.